two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Healthy Mind Matters, where we discuss the important community issues of stronger mental health, emotional wellness, and the growing problem of addiction. Healthy Mind Matters is brought to you by Intermountain Healthcare and Select Health. Here's our host, Maria Chileos, on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Thank you for joining us for Healthy Mind Matters. Today we are talking about pain management. We know there are so many people in our communities that do suffer from pain and managing pain. With me today, Kim Campani, the Executive Operations Director of Pain Management Services for Intermountain Healthcare, and Linda Kasten, the Senior Data Manager for Intermountain Healthcare. And thanks to both of you for being with us today. And Kim, maybe you could start out. Let's talk about pain. There are different kinds of pain. We have chronic pain, acute pain. Let's just talk about what is pain and kind of describe these types of pain.
Well, sure. First of all, pain is a way that our central nervous system lets our bodies know that there has been an injury or there's something wrong. And there can be, as you mentioned, acute pain or chronic pain. Acute pain is when we have pain that is occurring right now, something that just happened. Say we had an injury, we had an accident, we twisted something. That's acute pain. That's just something that we're working on right now or experiencing right now. And chronic pain, that is something that it's a sensation that our body tells us that there's been damage or injury that occurs over a long period of time, more than just a short period with acute pain. The chronic pain period would be when somebody has pain for an extended period of time, up to several months or years at a time. That's what we would consider chronic pain. And pain is a way, it's our body letting us know that something isn't right, that we need to pay attention to it, possibly seek medical care if it's something very painful, and try to get to the root cause of why are we having this pain.
So how many people, I know a lot of people suffer from pain. Every day if you talk to somebody, they'll tell you about something that's hurting them in some way or another. Do you have any idea of really how many people really suffer from things like chronic pain?
Yeah, typically what the statistics show is 636 million, million patients suffer from chronic pain. And a lot of the costs associated with chronic pain are due to the loss of productivity, disability, as well as the healthcare costs that are associated with chronic pain. The challenge, I think, with chronic pain that frustrates most patients is that there is not a cure. Unlike acute pain, typically it's resolved within a couple days, couple weeks, depending upon whether it's surgical or, as Kim mentioned, a twisted ankle. The challenge with chronic pain is that there isn't a cure, and there's a lot of frustration associated with chronic pain
for
patients.
Boy, when you talk about that many people and that loss of productivity, there's an obvious need to be talking about this subject and how to manage pain.
Well, I think everybody we know experiences pain in some way or another. And I think it's important to also state that people experience pain differently. Two different people could have the same type of injury, but their pain response could be totally different. One might be minor, and the other one may experience significant amounts of pain. So it's a very personal experience. One thing to note is pain in general is the most common reason that patients seek medical care, because if you think of all the different reasons that we could have pain, it's that's the main reason that patients are going in, hey, I've got stomach pain, I've got head pain, I've got a back injury, I've sprained my ankle. If you think of all the different causes of pain, you could understand why it's such a big common problem that is experienced by most individuals throughout their life, at some point in their life, I should say.
Mm-hmm. Is there a way you want people to look differently at pain?
Yes. Typically, our brains, when they experience the sensation of pain, they ruminate about the pain. They want it to go away. They think about it endlessly. There are a lot of negative thoughts associated with chronic pain. And what the research shows is that if we can change the way patients look at pain, we can change the way they accept the pain and therefore can cope with it better and live their lives more normally. So a lot of the tools that are being advocated are tools that involve multidisciplinary teams. And what that means is clinics that have physicians, nurses, social workers, psychologists, massage therapists, chiropractic care. What we've learned over the last at least 15 years is that opioids in particular, which was the treatment of choice many years ago, is now creating a lot of new problems. There are a lot of side effects associated. And as we know, there's a lot of discussion about the deaths associated in respiratory depression, which is the number one cause of deaths associated with opioids. And so the research is showing that these multidisciplinary pain clinics really seem to help patients learn to cope with their pain better. So there are a lot of different options, non-opioid treatments, meditation and mindfulness. Some patients find a gentle yoga or gentle exercise is helpful. But learning to cope with the pain is the number one priority for most patients.
Right.
And I think it's important to state, too, is the goal of pain management is not necessarily to alleviate or to get rid of all of the pain. It's actually to help improve that patient's function. And so I think to have realistic expectations about what pain we're experiencing and how we're going to improve from it is very important. For example, I may want all my pain to go away, but that may not be realistic. I may need to set some goals with my provider or my doctor to say, you know, I really want to be able to attend my son's baseball games every week and work to process so I'm able to go and attend those where maybe currently I'm not able to. So I think setting some realistic goals on improving my function and moving forward is very important, and therefore not and realizing I'm going to still have some pain if I'm one of these patients that's experiencing this. And so if I have that realistic expectation, maybe I don't need so many opioids. Maybe I don't need some of these other medications to treat my pain. I can use some of these other approaches that Linda discussed to help me to get better and to improve my function.
Right. How tough a sell is this in a society where we want instant relief of whatever? I mean, the opiate has always been just so easy. I take a pain pill and my pain goes away. Poof.
Agreed.
So, yeah, and it's scary. So how easy is it to get people, or how difficult is it to get people to really change the way they think about pain and managing pain?
It's a challenge. But I do believe when people see some success from some of the other options that are out there, that they buy into it. And we have several patients that we've worked with in the past who were on very, very high doses of medications. And they were able to communicate with their primary care physicians the need and desire to change their lives. They weren't getting out of bed, for example. They stopped working. And they work with their primary care physician to decrease the number of opioids that they're taking very, very slowly. And I'm thinking about this one individual in particular who speaks for us often. And he is now working from home. He is not qualified as disabled any longer. He has a social life. He attends his children's functions. He actually goes, he eats at the dinner table with his family, which he never did before when he was on high doses of opioids. So when patients see some success, they typically will buy in. The challenge is as we all know, we have very, very demanding lives. Our lives are fast-paced. Our society is growing older. We have a lot of new technology, which includes a lot of surgical procedures that we didn't have before, which can exacerbate chronic pain. So we need to slow down. And I speak for myself.
It's like I'm going to try to heed that advice. That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough. In addition to the fact, a bottle of opioids, you can get them for $5 and $10, a copay. To go to a chiropractor, you pay out of pocket. Many people pay out of pocket. So we need to get our insurance companies. We need to get the government who supports and advocates for this type of treatment to start supporting it financially and disincentivizing the other treatments that are harming patients now.
Now, we're not saying that there isn't a place for pain management with opioids. Yes, opioids do definitely have a place, but they can't be our only solution to pain management. It's just one portion of the pain management solution. As we all know, we're in an opioid epidemic right now, and I think we've all been impacted by the loss and the tragedy from this opioid epidemic. And so we definitely need to look at alternative approaches to treating pain. Like I say, opioids are one solution, but it's not a comprehensive approach for treating our pain. We need to get to what is the root cause? Why are we having that pain? And that may encompass many different things. We know there's also a mental component to pain, too. Most patients who have chronic pain are depressed. And we know that a lot of patients who are depressed also experience chronic pain. So just even taking a step back and talking to a pain psychologist, working with individuals can help us to really uncover why am I having this pain and getting to the root cause of it and working on that. So therefore, we're not so dependent upon opioids.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk more about some of the strategies and how they work in really managing pain. And you are listening to Healthy Mind Matters on KSL News Radio.